We're back for our final segment for Sundance in the Morning, and we have a guest on the phone here, Sheila Nevins from HBO, and it's probably somebody, Sheila,
yes,
good morning.
Yes, I'm here, I promise.
Hi, Sheila, it's David Darcy.
Hi, David, how are you?
I'm fine, so why are you not at Sundance this year? You were a stalwart. How many years were you coming? More than 20?
17, I took off a year, give me a break.
Okay, we'll let you off easy on this one. But the
I let the films do the walking and my great staff do the talking.
Okay, there's one film that I saw ahead of time, captivated, the Pamela Smart story.
Right.
Fantastic story, a great reflection on the nature of the media, the facts of the Pamela Smart case, a young woman who was convicted of conspiring to kill her husband with some high school kids, but the facts come into question, the legitimacy of the conviction and the imprisonment come into question, and the media comes into question, and it's also very stylish, really cinematic. Tell us a bit about how that project started, because it's very hard to get access to a prisoner in a maximum security prison.
Well, we started working on it early with a very small development deal, and Jeremiah is just a great filmmaker, and access to Pam Smart, and then somehow we felt, being the media ourselves, making the film, we were implicated also, and the best we could do was let so that we could take a look at what media does. I mean, the outrageousness of this trial, as we learned more and more about it, was, number one, the jury was sequestered. During their voir dire, they said they knew nothing about the case, and one of the jurors kept a record of each of the testimonies in each of the days, and that began to be the foundation for looking into this really interesting film about, which implicates all of us, you know, and also the injustices of you know, the difference between what a man gets and what a woman gets. Pam Smart got life without parole from a judge who wanted to be in the movies. He clearly said he wanted Clint Eastwood to play his part. Any judge who says that, as far as I'm concerned, should not be judging a case. A jury that's not sequestered in a trial, which I knew about, you know, in New York, something that was happening in New Hampshire. I mean, give me a break. How did anybody in New Hampshire not know about what was going on? So I think Pamela Smart, whatever she did, was guilty from the get-go. And the media gave the get-go. And I think, you know, it's just an interesting film to show at a film festival, especially film festival like Sundance, because we're in it together, you know? We took the incident and we made it a movie.
Yeah, how long did it take to make this film? Because this is really a film with an enormous amount of...
Jeremiah, I would imagine, I don't know the answer to that. I think a couple of years.
Yeah.
Every good docu is the labor of love and time, and you suddenly look up and you're older, and your kids are, you know, go from junior high to high school, or married by then.
Yeah.
When you put your nose in a docu and you wake up from the end and you finally see the credits, you know, you've moved on. So,
yeah.
I mean, this must have been a passion for a very long time.
Yeah. Sheila, what can you tell us about the growth of the audience for docs on HBO? Has there been, because we were talking earlier in the show about the difficulty of, you know, theatrically reduced release docs, of finding an audience, even if the critics are overwhelmingly behind those docs. Has the audience for docs on HBO grown over the last 10 years?
Well, I mean, getting an audience for docs is tough. It's always tough, because the star is usually an anonymous person. You know, making anonymity rival stars in cinema is a very difficult thing to do. And yet, through the anonymous person, you really find yourself. So it's very, very difficult to get an audience. How do we get an audience on HBO? Well, first of all, we repeat a lot. You know, crime and sex, of course, does better than, you know, food stamps and, you know, lunch for kids. So, I mean, you're always going to have a problem getting people to watch. But television, in many ways, is a great medium for it, because by accident, people land on you. You know, it's like your airport is there. So if it's a bad day outside, they just might watch that docu. And then there is, of course, a core built-in documentary fan in your audience. But they're consistent, and I don't think they've changed over the years.
Yeah, Sheila, this is Rick with KPCW. Now, does HBO have some other documentaries here, or is Pamela Smart the one?
No. We're very proud of our docus there. We have Love Child. We have a film about domestic violence. our star film, the one we're most anxious about, is on today at noon. It's Prop 8. It's The Fight to Defeat Prop 8, a film made by Ben Kottner and Ryan White. It's a wonderful, wonderful film, edited exquisitely. And it's really about guys fighting back. And by guys, I mean little guys, all guys, not just gay guys, but us as a guy, me as a guy. Yeah. But the system listens if you organize. And I think the message of the film is really quite extraordinary in terms of evolving change. We have our fingers crossed, because we really believe that the film stands for more just the defeat of Prop 8. It stands for moving forward in a very complicated government structure, because this goes all the way to the Supreme Court from the plaintiff.
Yeah. What does exposure at Sundance mean in terms of, I mean, you're getting these films out. Does it make any particular difference if Prop 8 is in a documentary competition, or if it's a premiere, or if they call it a special program? Does that make a difference in terms of the exposure you want to get for the film?
Yes, because Sundance is Premier Festival. It's the festival where narrative and docu go hand in hand in terms of competitiveness, similar categories and similar audiences. I mean, docu audiences are packed. When I first went to Sundance and I saw people standing around the block to see a docu, I thought, hey, man, I'm coming back here. I think what Sundance does is it kicks off the docu for you. It begins to have a buzz from Sundance, hopefully, that lives into its other broadcast entities. And I think that makes a great difference for a docu. I mean, we wouldn't be spending so much on schlepping to Sundance if it wasn't for the fact that it's the best place to start a docu. Best place, you know, high up, you breathe the air, and you know you made it. You're on your way to making it. In terms of visibility, you're never going to make a lot of money. You're never going to, you know, it's just a great place to be recognized for your message. Sundance is about message, and message is what docus are. And, you know, where else are you going to... You need a noisy place to kick off a message. People are tired of listening to messages. So Sundance is the best place to go.
Okay, what is it? Is it an opportune moment that the case against 8, the film on Prop 8, is premiering at Sundance at a time when there's a huge battle over gay marriage in the state of Utah? Did you have anything to do with creating this moment?
I have a doll with pins on it, and it has all the states in the United States. And late at night one night, all of us got it together, Kate Amend, the great editor, and my colleague Lisa Heller, and Ben and Ryan, and we stuck pins in the state of Utah, and that's how it happened. You see?
I knew there was a special story. Now, I should tell you, there's going at 3 o'clock at the Wazo, there's a party for this film, and hundreds, at least 100 couples are going to come in their wedding clothes.
What?
Yeah, they're going to come in their wedding clothes to this party.
Yes, of course. Why else would they come? Why else would be? Could you ever hear of a photo op?
Well, of course I've heard of a photo op. I'm going to be there taking pictures.
Oh, great. You see, we caught you.
But I think this is a moment that no one ever expected. We thought that Park City was the place that was cauterized and isolated from the rest of Utah, but it's spreading out all over Utah. This is the dread that a lot...
Wait, move the festival outside of Park City after this experience. Look, we have a message, and it's our job to get the message out. Okay. And if it takes 100 couples and you and your camera... That's okay with us.
Thanks, Sheila.
And Sheila, getting the message out with the case against 8, it premieres in Park City today at noon at the Temple Theater.
Yes.
And Trials of Pamela Smart, next showing in this area is Sunday at the Redstone Cinema. And Sheila,
Love
we hope...
There's Child and there's Private Violence. We have, you know, other films there.
Right. And
we want you to see them all.
Yeah.
We want you to get the message.
Okay, and we hope to get you next year in the flesh.
Yeah. I promise I'll bring my flesh. There's a lot of it. I'll be there.
Thanks a lot, Sheila. Bye
Take
now.
Take care. Best, David.
Okay,
Take care. Bye-bye.
And that's it for Sundance in the Morning. Thanks to co-host David Darcy, and I'll see you around town and hopefully next year.
Okay, thanks a lot, Rick. Bye now.
Hi, it's Lynn Rossetto Casper. Join me for The Splendid Table, an hour of lively and informative conversation and your calls about the first love in just about everyone's life, food. From in-depth looks at America's food chain to conversations with cheesemakers in the hills of Sicily, food is a doorway to great adventure. So join us. That's The Splendid Table from 8 p.m.
Join KPCW every Sunday morning at 9 for The Splendid Table, sponsored by River Horse on Main.